Well, when we started out this study in Psalm 119, I had it brought to my mind years ago. I don't remember how many years ago, but we had a little sheet we passed out with some information about Psalm 119. I couldn't find mine, but Florine found this and made some copies, so if you want one of them, just some general information about Psalm 119, and takes up the 10 synonyms and gives just a brief thought about the meaning of each of these synonyms that's used for the Word of God in Psalm 119. So, if you'd like to have one of those, I guess there's some more back there. So again, we turn to Psalm 119. Tonight, we're in, we're in verse, are you sure? Eighty. It's quite interesting that each of these eight verse sections is not exactly continuity of thought through each from one section to the next. You would think that the psalmist is gathering together a whole lot of different thoughts here concerning his own experience. We said that many of these sprang out of meditation and prayer, and I think you sense that in a lot of what we are taking up in this psalm. So tonight we'll again begin by reading these eight verses, and then we'll have some thoughts on it before we have our season of prayer. Verse 73, Psalm 119, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. They that fear Thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in Thy word. I know, O Lord, that Thy judgments are right, and that Thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray Thee, Thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to Thy word unto Thy servant. Let Thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for Thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in Thy precepts. Let those that fear Thee turn unto me, and those that have known Thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in Thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. And so we just look to the Lord again in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we quietly gather here this evening, and it's with an open Bible and the Word of God and God's people gathered together, in a sense, when we think about the psalmist and his own personal devotions, his times of meditation and prayer, and these thoughts spring forth, we believe, by the Spirit of God, and we have them before us even here this evening. Grant, we pray Thee, that what we can gather that would help us, strengthen us, encourage us, cause our hearts to leap with joy at the very thought of the greatness and the kindness, the love of our wonderful God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. Well, I tell you what, when I first started this reading on this section, the very first verse got my attention. Thy hands have made me, fashioned me, So give me understanding that I may learn thy commandment. Takes you back to creation, doesn't it? Makes you think right away. God divinely and wonderfully created a man. Thy hands have made me. It uses terms that you can visualize readily. If you think of someone, maybe they are modeling something out of clay. We were made of dust, if you remember. And those hands, the hands of God. So many times, if you want to really get a surprise, you look in Strong's Concordance of how many times hand and hands are mentioned in Scripture. And many, many of those occasions, it's referring to the hands of God. Those are powerful hands. If you were to look in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 12, you know, he in the hollow of his hand, he measured out the waters that are in the sea. And so often in Scripture, this reference to hands. Hands sometimes tell you a lot about people. I remember things that you learn in the course of life. You may shake hands with one person. That hand is strong, rough feeling. It doesn't take much to realize that man must do some hard labor. And if you shake hands with someone and it's soft and it lacks any real punch to it, you would say, I don't believe that person is involved in much that involves physical labor. But the hands of God, those hands created us, made us. And if you look at that, it says, his hands have made us and fashioned me. And I looked that word fashioned up, and it has to do with standing erect. Has something to do with the perpendicular. No, we weren't crawling around. No, we didn't just wash up on some far-flung shore. God made us. That may sound strange to a lot of people, but the God we serve created us out of dust. Knew what he was doing. Nobody's ever been able to duplicate what God did. Nobody. Don't think they haven't tried. People that are inclined to work in areas in which they deal with things like this, and they're able to produce things that sometimes just mystify you, can't create life. Can't do it. Can't start out with nothing and end up with life. God can. And he does. And the man he created was standing upright. The thought behind being fashioned indicates that it was something that was erected upright. The man was standing on 2 feet. You're a perfect man. And out of that man, he had a perfect woman. God created with his hands. It's a wonderful thought. And so often, you wouldn't ordinarily think about reading in the Psalms and uncovering some little gem like that that would excite you regarding creation. Well, the psalmist, in view of all that, you created me. I remember a brother one time, he told me that when he was first saved, he was guilty of gross familiarity with God. I didn't know exactly what he was talking about. But he said, I had never really developed a sense of reverence for God. I treated him just like he was another person. I treated him just like an equal. And I would yell that out at him and say, "You, if you created me, do this. You're supposed to be able to do this. Do this. Do this." He didn't tell me exactly what it was, but he said something very, very embarrassing happened in my life, and I never did that again. I departed from that whole concept of being very familiar with God. God wants us to draw nigh unto Him, and He will draw nigh unto us. He wants us to be holy as He is holy. But I tell you, coming into the presence of God is an awesome experience. And seeing the glory of God and having that sense of the presence of God with you is awesome. It is awesome. And we need that. And He wants us to draw nigh unto Him, and He wants us to know Him. The psalmist, in what he has to say, when he says, give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Well, I had a note. It said, since you have made me, be prepared to make me again. I think you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I need to be born again. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Lord, you're going to have to do another work. Not complete yet. You created me, brought me into the world upright. Yes, I'm a man. I'm a woman. But you're going to have to do something else for me. Isn't it wonderful that He had that already planned out? It was no second thought in providing salvation for you and me and bringing us out of that place of sin that we were in, lost, separated, isolated, in a sense, in our little world, away from God. And through the gospel of Jesus Christ and what He did and the Spirit of God working mightily and bringing about conviction, we were brought again in contact with God. We were born again into the family of God. We had a spiritual birth. And you know, you got to have a spiritual birth if you're going to be with the Lord. If you want to go to heaven when you die, you've got to be prepared to go to heaven. And you wouldn't be comfortable in heaven if you haven't been born again. That's just the way it is. Then the psalmist could say, you know, you'll have to make me again, Lord. That's what we said. Lord, I can't save myself. I wouldn't even know how to go about it. It's sad when you discover somebody that thinks he's found another way to heaven, and you know he hasn't. The people are searching, aren't they? Trying some way to circumvent the cross and get to heaven some other way. Win the favor of God without coming God's way. The psalmist could say, I'm your work, but I won't ever be complete until you finish what needs to be done. I got to be born again. It's like you may have a musical instrument. It's yours. I've heard fellas sit around with a guitar for hours trying to tune it up, get it like he wanted it, to play it. The guitar was his all the time, but he wanted one that was in tune We want to be in tune with the God who created us. That's important. And I'm one of His children, and I want Him to teach me. What we have in Psalm 119 is these synonyms for the Word of God, and each and every one of them, in some way, provide us with a little enlightenment concerning the many, many ways that God speaks to us, His Word, how powerful it is, to understand what He's saying when He speaks to us. It requires effort. It requires effort. Sometimes it's easier to get off track than you think it is. And it's bad to sometimes arrive at a place where you think you have it under control, I've mastered it, and then you discover, not quite, not quite. So, we just keep keeping on. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. You know, people take note of that special work of grace in our lives. It's nice to be desired as company among God's people because you're gracious and God has done a work in your heart and life. You've often heard it said that many of God's people are not very lovable, not very gracious. God doesn't want it that way. We can be the other way. We can be a witness and a power for good and for the glory of God. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. You see, we're connecting up with the word of God. You know, when God does that divine work of changing us, the old man is passing away. The new man is becoming more and more something that's evidence in our lives. Oh, that's so good. That's growth, spiritual growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like that woman that anointed the Lord Jesus Christ with those special expensive spices, and the aroma of all that, it filled the house. It was all over the place. Are we like a sweet-smelling savor to others? Is there something about our lives that's different? It should be. If somebody said, you know, they avoid me because I'm a Christian. Well, if they're avoiding you for all the right reasons, so be it. They don't like me. And there can be some very good reasons why they don't like you. But we want to be positive, and we want to attract people to our Lord. I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Have to have an adjustment sometime in your thinking when you consider that. Thy judgments are right. You sure? You sure, Lord? Lord, do you know what you're doing to me? Or do you know what you've allowed to come into my life? Yes. That comes back as a solemn warning. Down, boy. Down, boy. I know what I'm doing in your life. What I'm doing in your life is for a purpose and for a reason. There's faithfulness. In faithfulness, thou hast afflicted me. The Apostle Paul learned that lesson, didn't he? And many, many other of God's people, and their accounts given to us in so many things that we've read concerning the experiences in life that were not pleasant. Things that we ordinarily would have said, if I could have found a way around that, I'd have found it. But I couldn't find a way around it. So God, in His faithfulness, He ministers those things that are good for us, even if we don't like it. We will benefit from it. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word unto thy servant. The merciful kindness of God. God is rich in mercy. We've said that so many times. What he does and how he ministers some things that are not too pleasant, he does it mercifully. I watched a lady not long ago, and she's a medical person. I told someone I thought that was about the kindest lady I've ever seen. There was someone that she was doing some things for, and they were not cooperating at all. She had patience like you wouldn't believe. She was so merciful. She was so kind. I thought, that's the way the Lord Jesus. I don't know if that lady was a Christian or not, but I'll tell you what. What she did was a good testimony, without any question, to the fact that she knew what it meant to minister to others in mercy and kindness. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort according to thy word. Not out of thy word, according to thy word. I want the application of all of the word of God and it as it applies to me. I want it all according to. Not just something picked out of the word. I want all of it to have its way in my life. According to thy word. You know, that takes prayer, crying out to the Lord. And sometimes if you take the word of God and you put your finger on the line and you begin to follow it and yes, Lord, yes, yes. Yes, Lord, I want that. That's what I'm asking for. And as your finger goes along the page and you see that word, knowing that it's a powerful word, that the Spirit of God uses it as a sword of the Spirit. My God will always be good in keeping His promises. And let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. Delight thyself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. I've often said this, we've had some people that in this meeting and people that I've known personally, that they were just filled with the Word of God. They were full of the Word of God. You couldn't have a conversation with them without the Word of God coming up. And so often, sad to say, sometimes it's just the opposite. And many of God's people, you can't get them to talk about the Word of God. They act as if they're bored. Let's wait until Sunday and we'll be gathered together in an official way and then we'll hear the Word of God. None of this. How silly can we be? This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Every day is the Lord's day. And we need to sense the value of all of this. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those who have known thy testimonies. Seems to me the psalmist has said, look, make your children. You have provided members in the body to minister to me. Make them minister to me. If you have a desire to have God's people show some mark of kindness and love and help for you, and just didn't seem like it was coming. Seems like everybody was just passing you by. Well, that seems like that's what he is experiencing. He says, make them! Wake them up! I need help! There's a lot of God's people today, brothers and sisters. They're hurting. They need comfort. They need cheer for their hearts. They need help. and we need to be there available for them. Or we need to cultivate that love that promotes unity in the body. That one body concept is so important, and it needs to be a part of our thinking when we think about the church and the fellowship of God's people. We are one in Christ. You say there's a lot of different groups out there. We are one in Christ. I don't care who he is and where he is. If he's in Christ, he's one. And we're all one. That unity in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, that is so, it's so encouraging to the heart. I'm cultivating a love within the body itself, and that promotes unity. Never at the expense of truth, though. Don't get fooled. Don't go along with just anything and everything just to be friendly and loving and so forth. No, not if it means sacrificing truth. Truth prevails. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes. Sound. Solid! I know what it says. I've looked it up. I've searched it out. I know what the Word of God says. And when we believe this, and when we establish what we believe on this, just like we think about him, the Lord Jesus Christ, the solid rock. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. I look at that word shame, you know what it says? Turn pale. Turn pale. Be discouraged and disappointed to the point that there's no glow of happiness upon your face and in your soul. Psalm 119, this psalmist, we have a debt to this man, to this psalmist. His prayers and meditations, as they're shared with us, and as the Spirit of God would lead and direct us, can be a blessing to us. May it be so for his namesake.